One in five Americans has learned a new language on their bucket list, or life backlog, if you will. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel. Upgrade your personal skill set in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Its tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and deliver with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. I have a trip to Mexico coming up, so I've been using Babbel to brush up on my Spanish. The courses are short and sweet, so I can do one whenever I have a few minutes to spare. And the words and phrases it teaches you are designed for practical, real-world use, like ordering at a restaurant or asking for directions. Babbel can even provide you feedback on your pronunciation with its speech recognition tech. And it's not just for Spanish. Babbel includes 14 different language courses, each backed by a 20-day money-back guarantee. Here's a special limited-time deal for Scoop Nation. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, only for our listeners, at babbel.com/gamescoop. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/gamescoop, spelled BABBEL.com/gamescoop. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hills, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Welcome to Mario Teaches Typing. What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN Game Scoop, or should I say, was ist los, Leute? Willkommen bei IGN Game Scoop. My name is David Hatfield. I'm your host. We're coming to you from Gamescom here in Germany, and today I'm joined by Destin from Podcast Unlocked.
Hi, everybody.
And Seth from Nintendo Voice Chat.
Me.
And Danny from IGN Israel.
Hi.
Today, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
What a show it is. We've got a great show for you this week. We are here on the show floor. Microsoft, the Xbox booth is right there, where people are waiting hours to see the first 15 minutes of a game that's out in less than a week.
Yeah.
Seems like a great use of time. Sega's right over here showing off. What's that one? Hyenas? Who remembers hyenas?
Of course. Yeah, they help eat the dead animals that nobody else will.
I didn't think so.
A great laugh, though.
There's a lot of really interesting stories to talk about this week. We'll talk about some interesting developments with Xbox. We'll talk about the PlayStation Portal, another curious hardware device from Sony. But first, let's start in Seth's wheelhouse. Nintendo, Mario,
yeah.
Charles Martinet. Mario has lost his voice.
Yeah, and he might not ever get it back. At least not the original voice, but yeah.
Yeah, you don't think he'll be getting the original voice back.
No, 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 no.
Charles Martinet, the original Nintendo voice
of Mario, yeah.
There's the Super Mario Bros. Super Show, but
yeah. Hey, paisano!
In the world of video games, Charles Martinet has voiced Mario for almost 30 years.
It's crazy.
Anyone know what his first appearance was? It wasn't Mario 64.
Mario teaches typing.
That's right. That's exactly right. If you look up the video on YouTube, it starts up right away. It goes, Mario teaches typing. It's much lower than what you would expect. Yeah, since Mario teaches typing, he's been giving voice to Mario. And now he's stepping away. He's going to serve as a Mario ambassador. Don't really know what that means. No one has been a Mario ambassador before in the history of human history. There's never been a Mario.
Well, he's deserved to be the first one, actually,
to do it.
Yeah. And he knows a lot of Mario and can do best publicity ever.
You know, I think he's 67. He's in his late 60s. So he's definitely earned, you know, a retirement. Hopefully it is like his decision to move on and not being something that invited to leave by ushered out from Nintendo. Who knows?
I like how they handled it, actually.
You think
so? With the announcement and the videos about it and things like that. Mm-hmm. So I was glad to see that they handled it with grace or as gracefully as they could, whatever happened.
But they also said that there's going to be an upcoming announcement with Charles and Miyamoto.
Oh.
That's still forthcoming.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Don't know what that's going to look like. His last
Miyamoto's
is
the voice
like closure. It's going to be a closure project.
Maybe,
like
we're seeing Charles Martinet right here. He of course appeared in the Super Mario Brothers movie, not as Mario. That was Chris Pratt's honor. Yeah. But he appeared as a friend of Mario, and then I didn't realize this at the time. He was a voice of Mario's dad.
Yeah.
In that movie, and the last line of that movie is Mario's dad saying, "Those are my boys."
Yep.
So that's pretty fitting if that's his like last line working for Nintendo. Very appropriate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that does raise the question, who is going to be playing Mario going forward? What big shoes to step into?
Yeah. Nintendo, call me.
Yeah.
It's a me, a Mario. There's my reel right there. Yeah, I have no idea who would be like on the hook.
I mean, Nolan North, obviously.
Yes. Like Troy Baker. Yeah, Troy Baker can do everything.
It's me.
I can't even imagine someone else replacing him. No. He's the voice of our childhood. Yeah. Like, it's so hard to imagine it. But in the end of the day, we always, like, his legacy will always stay in our hearts. Like, course, but it's like, I believe that we can find someone that can imitate him. So it's like, hopefully, because like all of us, everybody can do, it's me, Mario, basically. So, yeah. But still, I think it's hurt us just because it's kind of our, I don't know, a father when we talk about it, because we actually grew on him, on his voice, and we really respect him. So hopefully we'll find someone that can fit well to those huge shoes that he left.
Yeah. It's like, so there's never been like a fully voiced Mario game. It's just little snippets of dialogue.
Yeah.
Right? Just
yeah.
little like noises or it's me, here we go. That's why I always wonder, like, do they just like hire him for like one weekend and then just get him saying 1,000 lines that they can just use whenever? So when Mario plus Rabbit Sparks of Hope comes out, they don't even need to bring him in. They just have this already. We need this line, this line.
Yeah, the Charles Martinet library of just things that he says.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I believe they can use even AI right now because I heard it's a thing.
That's what I wanted to ask about it. There's a conspiracy theory. Have you heard about this, Destin?
Well, a lot of voice actors are concerned about using AI to replicate their voice.
So. I mean, so Nintendo has confirmed Martinet is not in Super Mario Brothers Wonder. They haven't announced a new voice actor. The conspiracy theory is that they can use AI now that they have this huge library of voice recordings from him. They can use AI. Just like we're going to be hearing Darth Vader's voice going forward forever, even though.
True. True.
Yeah.
That will evaporate any goodwill.
I mean, there's that too. There's one would hope Nintendo would have the foresight to realize that would not be a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With the actor strike too, I don't think that's the announcement that's coming. I would be very surprised.
No, I don't think they're going to. I mean, I don't think they would make an announcement. I think they would just do it.
Yeah.
He wasn't just the voice of Mario. He's the voice of Luigi, Wario, Waluigi, Metal Mario, Shadow Mario, Baby Mario, and more. What was Metal Mario's voice? I don't even remember.
I don't remember.
Wasn't it just through like a vocoder? Kind of like a little
metallic.
Yeah.
Oh, this is cool.
I don't know. I don't know what to make about that. And the Mario Brothers Wonder is a big question mark because that's not far. It's 2 months away.
Yep.
Right? So they.
Yeah.
I mean, if they didn't, they've already recorded someone else for it. If Martinet is not in it.
So. Well, we've already heard sounds from the game too. So.
Yeah, but I don't think in the trailer we heard Mario's voice. And it sounded different, which is what caused people.
That's right. Because everybody on Twitter was saying that
it sounds different.
Yeah.
Well, it's not Chris Pratt,
It's not Chris Pratt. Yeah, we know that much at least. It'll be interesting to see how this develops. But speaking of Super Mario Brothers Wonder, why the heck is this game not here at the show? What is going on? Nintendo has a big booth.
A big booth.
Really nice big booth. They have a bunch of cool upcoming games. Mm-hmm. None of those upcoming games are here. What they do have is Mario Kart 8. You ever played Mario Kart 8? You can play that over at Nintendo's booth. 1-2 Switch.
Everybody 1-2 Switch. Finally.
And lots of Zelda.
Lots of Zelda.
Zelda's there.
And Pikmin 4.
Pikmin 4. All games that are already out. I feel like Nintendo, they missed the memo what this is supposed to be about. Yeah. Upcoming games.
Yeah.
Well, what happened? What happened, Seth?
I don't know, but I went by the booth yesterday, and their lines were full of people lining up to play games that have been out, some of them for like 3 months now. Yeah. But like the line for Tears of the Kingdom.
Some of them for years now.
Yeah. Yeah. For like over a decade in the case of Mario Kart 8. But yeah, I mean, they're here. It's a kind of fun celebration of gaming. And so they're just like, oh, we're Nintendo. We probably don't need to show off.
I don't know. I think something happened.
You think so?
Because they made this announcement that they were returning to Gamescom for the first time since 2019.
It was very exciting.
They have this really nice big booth. They have upcoming games, Super Mario Bros. Wonder, Mario RPG, Detective Pikachu, a new WarioWare game, and then next year they have The Princess Peach and Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon. None of that is here. It's just all games that are already out.
I thought for sure Mario RPG would be on the floor because there's like even indications at the booth that they're talking about it, but then nothing.
I don't know what happened yet. I think Nintendo Europe was planning to have those games here, at least Mario Wonder, and then something happened where they had to change plans.
Do you think maybe they were worried about the optics of like promoting a game during the strikes going on right now? Like maybe the new voice of...
Everyone is promoting a game during the strikes.
But Nintendo worries about those things a little bit, maybe.
I don't know.
Too much. Like, that's why Nintendo Online is horrible and still is, because they're worried that a kid might hear a swear word.
What if the first level is just, like, a disaster? Like, that's it's just why. Riddled with bugs. Like, and
after all this time, we really screwed up the first level of Mario Wonder, and we can't change it. So.
Yeah.
Maybe they're not that confident. Like, the game is about to come out, and they're afraid about, like, everyone here, like, not be happy for the game, and then maybe it's not ready enough. So, you know that the crowd here on Gamescom will, you know, spread the word and maybe say, you know, that game is not that of a wonder, you know, so
it is a
maybe they're just like taking a chance of not showing it and
well,
like
it's a new Super Mario game. They don't really have any sort of wiggle room to not be great.
Yeah.
Like, this one has to be great.
To your point though, they are kind of perfectionists. So if something's off, they might just want to not show it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. They also have their Nintendo Live event next month.
Yeah, right up, which I think is basically going to be what they have here. But everyone speaks English natively, so that's the only big difference,
Oh, okay.
So again, not Super Mario Bros. Wonder.
Nope, not going to be there. It's just going to be tournaments and games that you've already seen. Mm. And you get to meet Mario and Luigi, which is pretty exciting.
Meet them.
I met them the other day. Those guys, they're legends. They're really tall.
Yeah, taller than you would think.
Well, they'd eaten the mushrooms before I showed up.
Gotcha. One more bit of Nintendo news here. Did you try those Mario Oreos?
Yeah.
You found those?
Yeah.
You're able to find them?
No, but I want them.
You know what? So we have them in our household. Actually, my kid doesn't even care about them. He's like not interested. So
weird.
I have to eat them all.
Oh, no.
There's a limited time deal with Nintendo and Oreo. They've got these Mario cookies. There's 16 different designs on the Oreos. Mm-hmm. Includes Mario, Bowser, Princess Peach, Boo, Fire Flower, all that. But they're only available for a limited time.
Oh.
Yeah.
Do you know where I'm going with this? That's why...
They're going to be extremely collectible.
Some enterprising individual has 3D scanned all of them.
Oh, wow.
And saved them for posterity.
Oh, my gosh.
They've all been scanned so that future generations can just...
3D print cookies.
3D print. Oh, or just... God. You could just even... There's a little video of them online that you can look... This is what was. This is the partnership that was between Nintendo and...
I can tell my grandkids about it.
Yep.
Wow, they can sell it like on eBay in like tons of money.
Well, I don't, and I don't
packages
know.
Packages. Let's just buy.
They might get in trouble.
I don't know if you could 3D print food. I don't know how 3D printing works. I don't know.
Yeah.
Eventually, we'll get there.
Yeah. It's Mr. Talita on Twitter. He said, I've 3D scanned all 16 of the limited edition Mario Oreo cookies for preservation's sake. To make the cookies scan ready, I had to spray paint them white. They are now forbidden poison cookies.
Oh, no.
Destin, you have some experience with cookies.
Oh.
Yeah.
Do you ever spray paint them white?
No, never.
Do that.
Don't.
So long after the cookies are gone and the people who ate the cookies are gone, the aliens will be able to see, there was once these Mario. And
this must have been their currency.
Yeah, this was their currency.
This episode of Game Scoop is brought to you by NordVPN. As Scoop Nation knows, your Omega Cops have been a little obsessed with a movie called Weekend at Bernie's lately. But as happens too often these days, it is difficult to find it streaming here in the US. That's where NordVPN comes in. With NordVPN, you can switch your virtual location to a more enlightened region where they appreciate the comic delights of Weekend at Bernie's. And it's not just for streaming movies and shows. Switching your virtual location can allow you to save money by purchasing flights, hotels, and subscriptions from other countries at a cheaper price. And you can do all this worry-free as NordVPN threat protection features protect you from viruses, malware, and phishing sites. Best of all, NordVPN costs the price of a cup of coffee a month, and one account can be used on up to 6 devices. To get the best discount on your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/gamescoop. Our link will also give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. That's nordvpn.com/gamescoop. You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get, except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Okay, let's move on to Destiny's Wheelhouse and Xbox.
All right.
In Microsoft's ongoing attempt to acquire Activision Blizzard,
yep.
CMA
yeah.
in the UK, the Competition and Markets Authority, remains the final obstacle that Microsoft has to navigate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The sticking point for the CMA was streaming.
It was, of all things.
That's what they're worried about, the streaming.
The streaming.
Yeah. Simpsons meme, won't someone please think of the streaming. Mean Girls meme, stop trying to make streaming a thing. Streaming's not going to happen. So now Microsoft has submitted a new, what is it, like a new proposal
yeah,
that sure. sort of narrows the rights that they'll have after if the deal were to go through. And the concession that they've made is just crazy to me.
Yeah, so Ubisoft Plus is going to be the platform where you can stream video games from.
They will give the streaming rights for Activision Blizzard games to Ubisoft. Not give, actually. They will allow Ubisoft to purchase
them. Yeah. So it's sort of a weird thing where, like, for 100 million, Ubisoft gets it, and then they end up somehow making 120 million. I don't really know. It was really weird. I had to ask Phil Spencer about it during the interview because, like, I don't
get... Oh, you got to ask him about it. That's
good. I don't get what you're doing here. So, yeah, largely it's just about streaming rights, and it's to get this through the CMA. Now, the deadline for the final extension is in October, and the CMA is... The deadline's right around there also. So it's going to be interesting. Are they going to go past the point of no return with Activision, or is the deal going to end up going through before that deadline is hit? What is Activision going to do? Like, are they going to rework it? But all parties on the Microsoft and Activision side seem to be working towards getting this thing through while making the regulatory bodies happy.
Yeah, so then if the CMA were to approve it and the acquisition went through, Microsoft would own Activision Blizzard, but Ubisoft would be able to stream their games.
The games.
Yeah, that's
or
how,
even decide how they're streaming, because Ubisoft has the ability to license out to third parties under any business model of its choosing, including buy-to-play, subscription services, any other model that may arise. So it might not even be through, what, Ubisoft Plus Live or cloud gaming.
Maybe subscription to a bunch of games or monthly games. And I don't know. I feel like it's kind of weird to actually focus on streaming right now. I don't think this is the way actually like actual gamers actually get their games. Maybe, you know, on the Xbox platform, of course, but I don't think this is what they need to focus on right now. No. But I think it's like it's the tiniest thing they try to catch them, like, and to get them to not make this through this acquisition. So I just think this is, I don't know, I'm not getting that hyped because streaming is not that stable, basically, for now for gamers. So I'm getting my high hopes on that. So
streaming is a very small part of the market still, which is
true.
What the CMA
very
just
small.
Can't. The CMA doesn't seem to get that for some reason.
Well, they got their math wrong on the vertical foreclosure theory, which was like about the consoles. And then Microsoft's lawyers pointed out to the CMA, hey, your math is incorrect here. We would actually lose money if we took it off of the PlayStation. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
So they had to go through and revise their findings there. And then they had their math wrong again. So the CMA is not looking so great. And they're also on an island by themselves. You know, the FTC just got decimated in court, basically. And then they just dropped everything in the U.S. So now here's the CMA sitting out there. We got to get those cloud streaming rights, you know, the 1% of the market, if that. It's totally bizarre. I think the CMA has sort of gummed it up and made the experience worse for the consumer. Mm. And their job is to make something better for the consumer. And I just think it's created a very weird situation for them.
That's true, because if it goes through and this situation happens, now anyone who wants to, like, you know, stream an Activision Blizzard game doesn't do it through
Xbox
where that lives. They have to go through Ubisoft.
Yeah.
Which maybe they don't want.
Why? It. Why do we need this, like, this middleman in the middle? Yeah. Like, it's so stupid. I'm sorry, but
it is really stupid. Games industry analyst Ampere at Ampere, Pierce Harding Roll says, Microsoft's willingness to do this deal suggests that the company is aware that streaming of games is likely to remain a value-added small part of how games are distributed and consumed over the next 10 years. It's more important to build out its portfolio of games through the acquisition than hang on to streaming rights. Yeah, Microsoft doesn't care about the streaming rights to these games right now.
Right, yeah. They're giving it out to everybody. They're like, NVIDIA, you can have it. Boosteroid, you can have it. Uvitas, you can have it. Okay, we need to give it to whatever. We don't care.
Yeah.
Like, this is such a small part of our business. Yeah. And in the court documents, they even said, every time somebody boots up a game, they lose money because it, like, costs more to stream it to them.
Yeah, I mean, they're running the game on their end, right?
Yeah.
Their service. It, when I initially thought this, I thought, wow, this is such a great deal for Ubisoft.
Yeah.
Ubisoft has been having a hard time lately, having a hard time getting games out the door. Mm-hmm. Now all of a sudden, they are the ones that get to, like, sell streaming of Activision Blizzard games.
Imagine being presented with that deal. He's probably like, yeah, sure. Yeah. Like, sounds great.
I mean, it does sound great, but then remember, it's just a very small part.
Right.
Still like $20 million a year.
I don't know what that means to a company like Ubisoft, but sure.
Yeah.
Not nothing.
Yeah.
Right. What it is.
True.
Anyway, we'll see how that develops. We'll see if this is the final thing that convinces the CMA to allow the deal to go through.
Well, can I ask the panel a question real quick?
Yeah.
Have you ever tried out streaming? Like, I tried it on those Samsung TVs, and I actually find it really interesting. You just pair your controller and you go.
Mm-hmm. True.
I think some of the NVIDIA streaming is pretty good. Yeah, so I am curious, what's this going to look like in 5-10? Do we finally get the infrastructure necessary to make it a smoother experience, and then the market does increase?
I just believe we can, in the next future, maybe we'll be able to stream games better. I just don't think we're in that point right now. No. Because, you know, I don't think the game we're going to run smoothly. It's kind of fun, you know, in other, like, let's say I'm like indie games or not that AAA games, because like, or just platformer games, like 2D games. But when you have a game that you need some, you know,
like great, a first-person shooter.
Exactly. Yeah. When you need like good performance, like I can't imagine myself right now playing on streaming right now. Let's say the next Wolfenstein or the next Doom. This is impossible for me to imagine that. Same as I just think that Ubisoft is gaining more points on that side than Xbox right now. They benefit from it more than Xbox. So
Seth, how is streaming AAA games on the Switch?
I have not met.
There's several games that are available that way.
That stream from the cloud, but I've never had a good experience streaming video games to my Steam Deck or any device whatsoever. So even though I have like super strong a connection, I have fiber, I have good Wi-Fi, and it's just, there's always like that little bit of delay. If you're going to play like a turn-based role-playing game, like no
big deal. Do you remember Stadia? No, just kidding. Exactly. So
they were way ahead of their time, and
that didn't far ahead that they irrelevanted themselves, and that's a word I just made up.
Irrelevanted themselves? I like it.
Yeah,
we'll add it to the lexicon.
Excellent. Okay. Thank you.
There's more Xbox news this week, which is also very surprising. Now, apparently, Baldur's Gate 3 can just come to Xbox this year. All this time, it's been a problem because they couldn't get the split-screen co-op working on the Series S, and Xbox demanded that games were able to launch on both the Series X and S all along. But now, all of a sudden, no problem. We'll just let it out there. I wonder why.
Interview, obviously. The interview I did with Phil.
Thank you, Destin.
Destin's right. Let's just get rid of the parity clause. So you're welcome, Internet.
Now, what happened here? Like,
So basically, there's this parity clause with the Xbox Series X and the S, right? So Larian made the decision that we want split screen, and I think Xbox was saying it has to run the same way and have the same features as that X has on the S, and then all of a sudden it didn't need to have that anymore.
Right.
So now all the press releases are, it's coming out sometime this year, stay tuned.
So they're just going to cut that feature from the Series S version.
Yeah, no local split screen co-op on the Series S. Like, that's the only feature it's losing. You can still do multiplayer. You can still
online.
Do online co-op.
First of all, I don't understand why that's an issue. Larian's other games, Divinity, Original Sin 1 and 2, have split-screen co-op on Xbox. I don't. All of a sudden, I'm now in Baldur's Gate 3. It's impossible on the Series S. I'm not a game developer, but it just seems strange to me. That's what it was holding it back.
It does. I don't really get it either.
It's kind of weird.
But what does this mean for all the developers? Now, other developers are going to be like, well, hold on. Does my game have to run perfectly on both Series X and S?
Exactly. I wonder if, like, maybe Xbox was just hoping something like this would happen, because I think that clause is a little bit...
But Xbox is the one that enacted that clause.
I know, but I'm saying, like, I think that they kind of painted themselves into a corner, and now they found an out with it, and they'll be like, yeah, I guess we let Baldur's Gate through, like, everybody else, it's fine, so...
Or maybe it's their way to promote this, the Xbox Series X more than the S, and this is, like, the way to actually promote it. We cannot know, actually, because it sounds so weird that you can't run the same game on the S, because they don't have that much of a difference, basically. That much. We know the differences, but not that much for them not to be able to run it as on the X, so... Yeah.
It's about that feature of split-screen co-op, and I think it's because if a player is looking over there and another player is looking over there, maybe it's, like, too much rendering, so the frame rate dips frame into the 20s, and it's just not the experience that the developer is happy with.
True.
So if they drop that feature, then it's good to go. Like, we know Baldur's Gate 3 can run on the Steam Deck.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was playing it on the plane. It's fine. I hear Act 3 gets messy, but... It has the ability to do that on that device, so there's no reason the Series S shouldn't be able to handle it.
Right.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Well, let me ask you this. If Baldur's Gate 3 were not on PlayStation 5, would Xbox have made this concession? If, like, if it were only a PC game, would Xbox have made this concession?
Was it still coming to Xbox?
Well, it's the scenario is the same.
It's a good one.
They're having trouble getting it working on Series S, so Xbox won't allow it. But it's not on their direct competitor's console either.
Hmm.
In that case, I don't think they would have.
No, I don't think so either.
Yeah, me too.
It's arrived. It's this huge deal. No one really expected it to be this big. Yeah. And it's out in just a week on their biggest competitor's platform.
Well, there's also the Forza news, where Forza announced that the game's not going to launch with split screen.
Yeah.
So that feature seems to be a challenge for some reason.
For Series S.
And I don't know why.
Mm. Yeah. It feels like they're just like raising their hands. We have it too. Yeah. We have it too. Come to us. You can play with us. Oh, but by the way, you can't play it on the S. So you need to buy the X. Just saying. This is how it feels. Like, it feels so weird, but I don't know.
But it's just one little mode, and like the number of players that actually utilize split screen.
Yeah.
I know players
not the
love
majority.
It, but it's like it's a low percentage.
Yeah. And I don't think there's not a lot of people that are going to play it like couch co-op right now, because basically it's more like, at least on PC, it's more like a vibe of online if you're going to play it with someone, so you don't need a split screen.
Mm-hmm.
But let's say that a friend comes over, you're actually going to sit down with him and play on the couch co-op of Baldur's Gate. I mean, it's like at least I'm not sure. I would like to play it more online with my whole screen involved, because maybe it's just like I have the ADHD. I just like seeing someone else's screen, I'm just like this.
Yeah.
So, I was like, it's funny though, but I rather to explore this game on, like, I don't know, in a full screen. But again, I can understand the couch co-op on that game specifically.
Mm. Have you been playing Baldur's Gate 3?
Yeah.
Good game.
I'm still in the first act, but I have been. And then there was this event, Gamescom, that I came to.
Here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I had to stop.
Yeah. You like it though?
Yeah. Oh god, yeah. It's really good. Like, I'm a huge fan of BioWare games and Mass Effect.
Yeah.
BioWare actually did the original Baldur's Gate 1 and 2.
Yeah.
So I play this, and it was like just this, it's like what I wanted those kind of games to evolve towards,
mm-hmm.
and they never got there. And then all of a sudden, out of the blue, here's Baldur's Gate 3, mm-hmm. and it's feature complete. There's no weird cosmetic microtransactions in the game. So it was really just so refreshing to just have this come out of seemingly out of nowhere. It was in early access for 3 years.
Yeah.
And the developers utilized that feedback to, like, really strengthen the product.
Yeah.
But I'm just ecstatic about Baldur's Gate 3.
Yeah. I'm going to play it on PS5.
Yeah.
Nice. 12 days.
Not that long, right? Isn't it the 6th? Is that 12 days in the way?
They just tweeted 12 or 11 days.
Well, then I believe I believe them. Okay, and finally this week we arrive at Sony PlayStation and the PlayStation Portal.
Mm.
Boy.
They're on, speaking of streaming, this is their, what was the the code name for this one?
Oh.
This year. I don't remember the code name.
Mistake?
Now, the Project Mistake. That's what it was. Yeah. That's how you really feel.
Wasn't it Project Q or something?
Yeah, something like that. So this is, we're seeing it here. This is their little streaming device. It's $200, and it's just a screen with a DualSense control on it that lets you stream your PlayStation 5 games to this device. It does not run any games natively. It has no memory inside it. It's
You can already do this.
What's up?
You can already do this on your phone, too.
I know you can.
Yep.
The PS5 will run your games. It will stream the video of it to the portal.
Yeah.
I don't really see... It just seems... Like, what problem is this solving for people?
When you're like, ah, oh, this game looks so good, I wish I could play it on a much smaller screen than my 4K TV.
I mean, like, I guess if there's like, you know, you have people in your house, someone's using the TV, okay, you could still play your PS5 this way, but it's, again, it's the whole streaming and latency issue.
Exactly. That's the problem. I can't imagine it even happening, but of course I'm going to get it just to try it, but like the only way I'm going to play it is like when I'm always falling asleep in front of my control, like when I'm gaming. Yeah. So I'm like, I'll go to my bed and just like keep playing it on my bed, the game, and just like fall asleep on my bed. It's like, it's better than on the couch, but I just can't imagine myself like having like a full session of 8 hours grinding a game just because the latency. And again, come on, I have PS5. Why should I play on 60 frame point, like FPS, when I have the PS5 with best resolution, with the best TV? But it's cool, you know. It's kind of it's a great gimmick for PlayStation lovers, for PS5 fans, if they want to have the whole gear. And you know, it's a thing. It's a great gimmick, though. Again, we were talking about streaming, so basically you need to have great network at home. I'm not sure how it's going to work on other network when you're going out, because they're saying that you can actually play on other networks, but still, I'm not getting my hopes up. I still need to try it, but worst case, I believe that the next gen, again, maybe will be better. But you know what's fun? Fun fact, we're going to call it PSP now, because it's going to be like,
there is
that. PlayStation Portal, come on.
But I think people would rather just have a new handheld that can natively run games.
A 1,000% when this, you know, leaked out, everyone was losing their minds that PlayStation was going to make a portable device. Everyone was like, yes, it's coming back finally.
Me too.
And then they made this. It's like, wah, wah.
At a time when...
Right.
So like ROG Ally, is that streaming stuff?
Well, no, that's like a native Windows computer. I mean, you can stream on it,
Same as the Steam Deck, like, it's a really good one.
And the Steam Deck. So you have these other competing products out there right now that do what people were hoping PlayStation would do.
Yeah.
And then PlayStation is like, nope, streaming only. It's just such a bizarre decision to make.
Yeah.
And it just feels like Wii U level tech.
That's exactly what it feels like.
Well, at least it's going to be easy to adapt it, because it's the same as the DualSense, basically. You know, the grip, and you have adaptive.
It looks nice.
Yeah, and it looks nice. It's, again, it's a cool gimmick to have, and if you're a PlayStation fan, you're going to love to have it, just to show off and just say, yeah, I have the new PlayStation Portable. So
theoretically, you could take it with you, because you just need your PS5 at home on Wi-Fi, and then you can wake it up as long as you're on good Wi-Fi. But like here in Germany, at our hotel, the Wi-Fi is awful. We could not use this thing at our... It would be useless to us at the hotel we're staying at.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then there's the question of battery life. So it's just a DualSense split in half of the screen in the middle.
Right. They don't even commit to that.
They said the battery life was as good as the controller. So bad.
It's bad. The haptic feedback will kill the console. It's always like after 2 hours or three, my controller is out.
DualSense.
Yeah.
And then there's the fact that you can't use your like existing Pulse headset with it.
No Bluetooth.
There's no Bluetooth. Yeah.
Which only their proprietary.
So there's a new PlayStation Link is their new tech, and then they have a new headset.
Oh, looks mad playing it.
New. New headset, new earbuds. So you would have to buy a brand new headset to use them with this thing, which already costs $200.
It's so strange.
Yeah.
I want to love this hardware too. Like, it looks cool. I like the idea of the controller being built in there. I would love to be playing God of War, but just like the fact that it's streaming is just like,
that's the color for me. I'm not interested in streaming games.
Like, you could literally put a flash card in it or an SD card in it and install some games and go. It's just such a strange decision to make.
Yeah. A Switch Lite is $200.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, a Switch Lite can't play God of War, but it can play Tears of the Kingdom.
It can play Tears of the Kingdom.
And it plays it natively.
Yeah, it plays a billion indie games that are amazing. Yeah. So,
For $200, I don't see the value proposition here.
No.
Okay. While I have you here, three cool gamers that are not on GameScoop that often, I want to know what your game of the year is so far.
Oh.
Danny.
Woo. Well, it depends what... the question goes both ways. It's the game that I think that maybe will win, and the game that I want.
Oh, yeah, your game. Your game.
My game, I think, Tears of the Kingdom.
Yeah.
Beautiful game. Usually, I'm not hardcore gamer of Nintendo, more like PS5, Xbox, more like on consoles or PC, whatever, just like less, portable, or better to play game like more, more live and... Anyway, so I think this game was incredible, amazing sequel, looked incredible, and I can't wait to see even another sequel, but again, on next-gen console, of course. Beautiful story. Again, it's perfect 10. I can't even explain. And I think if there's another game that I think maybe we'll take it, I think it's Diablo 4. The hype is insane, and it's a great game. I really loved it as well.
Yeah, I think until recently, this seemed like a shoe-in for Game of the Year. Mm-hmm. Seth, where do you come down on this?
It's still going to be the Game of the Year. Okay. Yeah,
You're saying it is not even just for you.
No, it's going to be everybody's Game of the Year.
Okay.
I got to say it.
Yeah, it depends what we want and what's going to happen.
I know that Destin was going to say that it is his personal Game of the Year. But yeah, I mean, you know, there's a little bit of people saying that maybe Baldur's Gate 3 is the Game of the Year, but I think that's recency bias because, I don't know why I keep calling it that. Tears of the Kingdom is the best game ever made by humans in the history of time.
Wow.
It's a whole different level of video game design and gameplay, and I think it's maybe one of the most important games ever released. Mm. And it's perfect, and I love it, and I want my ashes spread in that versus Hyrule.
In Hyrule. Well, Destin, where do you come down? You have a different feeling.
I agree that Tears of the Kingdom is a phenomenal game, and I think it is definitely in the running for Game of the Year. And I think the only game that has a chance to give it a run for its money is Baldur's Gate 3. Yeah. And I think that's because it also has done something that is very important for the industry. It has shaken it up and said, hey, look, you can still make games like this. This genre is not dead. You can still release feature complete games and be tremendously successful. Yeah. And I think that is one aspect of what Baldur's Gate 3 has done that has really got people thinking across the board, like the people with the money hats at these game companies are really thinking, maybe the model has skewed too far in one direction.
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
it is time for an inflection Fair point enough. In the game yeah. industry.
I will say
technologically, what Tears of the Kingdom did is, it's insane.
It's mind-blowing.
Yeah.
But I will say that I don't have any friends who aren't into games who are like, I'm so hooked on Baldur's Gate 3. But I have a lot of non-gaming friends who are like, I just played Tears of the Kingdom for 100 hours. I've never done that before. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tears of the Kingdom is also feature complete at launch, Destin.
Yeah, that's true. Both of these games I give, this is a tough one for me to consider as we go into the end of the year.
Yeah.
But selfishly, I feel like Zelda has won so many awards time and time and time again. I would love to see Larian take it.
Yeah.
So selfishly, I would like to see Baldur's Gate 3 take it, and I think they have a chance.
So you're always rooting against Tom Brady. Like, he already has five rings.
I always root for the underdog.
Okay, that's fine.
I've always been like that. And it's not to disparage Tears of the Kingdom. I think
Tears of the Kingdom is
a phenomenal, amazing experience. Just the first time you hop on the glider and fly down to the world, it's really breathtaking and an impactful moment. And then you start building stuff in the world. That stuff is really, really cool.
It's the best.
Yeah.
True, I can definitely see Baldur's Gate take this actually Game of the Year as well, because you see the hype around and when it's going to get to consoles as well, it's going to give a great competition for both games.
True.
Yeah, I would. If we were voting today, I'd vote for Tears of the Kingdom. But I haven't played Baldur's Gate 3 yet, so I look forward to it. And there's still more. There's a lot of promising looking games still to come in the year too.
It could launch on PlayStation 5 and be rocky. Yeah, we can see the Starfield gigantic booth over there. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I wanted to get your thoughts while I had you here. And that brings us to Video Game 20 Questions. Danny, do you know how this works?
Kinda.
Okay, you know the game 20 Questions.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of something. You have 20 yes or no questions to guess it. Well, the thing is a video game, so you have a head start.
We're
going to
say yes, no, yes, no, until we get it. Okay.
Until you get it.
It's
hot and cold, right?
Well, you have 20 questions to get it in. Our suggestion this week comes from Sean Girth. Let the questioning begin.
Was this game released before 1999?
No.
Okay.
Okay.
So it's a post-millennial game.
Is it on consoles?
Yes.
Next-gen consoles.
What's a next gen console?
Current gen, maybe.
More like PS5 on Xbox. I mean, it doesn't an old console.
Give me a yes or no question. How do you want to ask the question? What are you trying to find?
Is this game on current gen console?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Oh. Okay. It's better. You did it better. Mm.
I've done this before. Yeah. I've only lost once. And it stings. Does the main character wear a hat?
No.
Ooh. Okay.
Is it on current gen consoles via some sort of backwards compatibility or something?
No.
Okay. That's five. Okay.
So this is a modern game.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is it a single player game? Or
yes.
Okay.
It's a modern single player game on current gen consoles. Is it on...
Link wears a hat, right?
Link wears a hat.
Yeah.
Oh, is it an exclusive to one console game?
Yes.
Okay.
So it's exclusive to either Nintendo Switch, Xbox, or PlayStation.
When hat means helmet also.
Doesn't wear a helmet either.
Oh.
Any sort of headdress.
Yeah.
The hat is a critical question to ask.
Do you ride a horse?
No.
Ooh,
do you play a singular protagonist or multiple?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
So no horse character, riding.
No horse riding.
No character.
So.
Yeah. It's not Halo. It's not Zelda.
No.
You play a single character. It's not Red Dead because you wear a cowboy hat.
Cool.
It's maybe modern thing, like modern or futuristic.
It's a single player.
I try and think of like, I think Sam always asks like the question.
Sam always has like the ones that are really good at like delineating. Yeah. So I'm trying to think or like Justin, of the, a question that Sam or Justin would ask right now. Let's see. Is it, so it's a console exclusive.
Is it exclusive to the PlayStation 5?
It's exclusive. Well, it's exclusive to, in that sense, yes. Let's just say yes.
That's so it's exclusive to PlayStation.
That's 10.
It's a PS5 exclusive.
So it's PS5, PS, it's PlayStation exclusive, which makes me think that it's with a little bit of...
God of War, he doesn't wear a hat.
No, he doesn't wear a hat. He doesn't even have hair.
Yeah.
Maybe Ghost of Tsushima. Ghost of...
Oh, that's another one. But you, there are a lot of hats you can collect in
there. Yeah,
yeah, because you have
tons
of them.
I'm a big hat.
Originally
released PS4, though.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, damn. It's hard.
Is it a first-party game?
No.
No.
Okay. Great. Good one.
Okay. That was a good question.
Oh.
So that just rules out a bunch of...
I have no idea.
How many questions are we on?
You've asked 11 questions.
We've asked 11.
Is the protagonist a male or a female? Like, is it a female?
No.
Ah, okay. Yes.
Okay.
Good one.
So
it's a guy.
Male protagonist.
Yes.
Male protagonist, not first party, but it's exclusive.
Non-first party, but it's exclusive to PlayStation. That's a tricky one. But it's probably so obvious to everyone at home. I'm sorry.
Final Fantasy 16.
That
male protagonist.
But there's more than one.
Is it a Final Fantasy game?
Yes.
Final Fantasy 16. How did you
I just
want to
remind
that?
You, if you guess the wrong game, you lose. So,
it's a Final Fantasy game.
You have a few. Like you have
Final Fantasy exclusive to the PlayStation. 16 is console exclusive. Next gen only.
So we could ask, does it have the number 15 in its name?
No.
Why didn't you say 16?
Because now we've narrowed it down.
Oh.
Oh, but wait a minute.
Yeah.
What's that other one?
There's probably some other Final Fantasy pixel adventure or something.
No, that one's on everything. Wasn't there that one Final Fantasy Origins or something that was like the events before the original Final Fantasy, but I don't remember if that was on...
That was multi-platform.
That was multi-platform?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want to just say... Should we just go?
Well, we have a few more. Does it have the number 16 in the title?
Nope.
Oh.
15 questions.
All right.
Okay, what is it then? It's a Final Fantasy game that's exclusive to PlayStation.
But it's not first party.
But it's not a numbered place. That's what we should ask if it was a numbered PlayStation. Or a numbered Final Fantasy game.
Final Fantasy 7.
Remake.
Is the number 7 in the title?
Yes.
Oh!
All right.
So it's got to be Final
Fantasy 7.
So Final Fantasy 7.
I wasn't sure what to
say.
Yeah,
it's the Final Fantasy 7 remake.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Nicely job. Nicely
okay.
Job.
Almost got us.
So released on PS4, but then Final Fantasy 7 integrated PS5 game.
Yeah.
Also on PC, but a console exclusive.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
You did it.
And it was
really did it.
Nicely job. You don't need Sam's help. The power's within you.
Yeah.
It was in me all along.
It was.
I feel like Damon went easy on us and he's like
because we're in Gamescom, I was like, maybe it's like Die Strümpfe zwei, like the Smurfs game sequel, but
I don't know too many German games.
Well.
So, yeah.
You know the Smurfs, so.
Did you get to play any games while you're here?
I played a lot of Pikmin 4 in my hotel room.
Oh, yeah. Besides,
we could also play at the Nintendo booth.
Yeah, there's a line, though.
No, like, you know, people at home who are like, watch our live show, I'm basically in here and having devs on and like looking at their games and talking about them. But I'm not going to the show floor and playing a lot of games.
Is there anything you saw that blew you away?
Blew me away. That's a little.
Got you excited?
There's a cute game called Axolotl where you're a little.
Yeah.
It's called AK Zolotl. You're the lizard Axolotl with an AK. And it looks like it's got sort of like an Enter the Gungeon vibe. That game's very cute. Yeah. But I think in terms of like big games, this is a little bit, the show's a little bit tempered.
Yeah. A lot of hands off.
Yeah.
I saw Forza, that was cool. Yeah. Saw Starfield, that was cool. Couldn't play it.
I would have been excited if Super Mario Bros. Wonder was
here. We wouldn't have been able to move. This place would have been so
packed.
That's
kind of what I thought I was going to get to see.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. Yeah. A little disappointed.
Would have brought the house down.
Wait, say that again?
Would have brought the house down.
If Super Mario Wonder were here, this would have been like the Gamescom that everyone talked about forever and always. Yeah. Like, that's when it, went from the biggest gaming convention in the world to an even bigger, biggest gaming convention in the world.
Yeah.
I do think, though, that in the not-too-distant future, you'll get some hands-on impressions on IGN to come. In the not-too-distant future.
I hope so.
Yes.
Hope so.
Yeah.
You guys, thank you so much for hanging out with me on our stage here. Destin, sure. Danny, Seth, it was a pleasure. That's all the scoops we have for you this week. Remember, you can always send your 20 question suggestions or your questions to me at the email address gamescoop@ign.com. My name is Damon. Thank you to everyone working behind the scenes here in Germany to make this episode possible. My name is Damon. This is IGN Gamescoop, and we're out.
Hello, dear stranger. I'd like to introduce you to something new. Or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and Laboratory Judaica, the Heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.